what you got.
I assume your system hasn't been out in any hailstorms, correct?
Been any hailstorms. It's been through a few fairly severe wind conditions. And, I know you mentioned that the other day on the radio. And, really big hail will damage the solar panels, and you'd probably be looking at replacing them. These panels are fairly, I think half-inch hail probably wouldn't bother them, but I have seen pictures of solar panels that were absolutely blown to pieces by hail, so that is definitely a concern.
Well, I know some people back off between here out toward Pickens and around Glacier Mountain. I've seen some people have got, you just answered another question I had about their probably selling it back to fire company. Big panels out in the yard and others, they got them up there on the roofs of their house. And with the hail that we sometimes get back off up here next to the mountains in the summer, I don't know how in the world they keep from not blowing those panels all to pieces. That was my main question about the hail issue. Go ahead, back you, KI4LZI.
Q4AKE again, Wayne. That is a concern. Since we've been here in Simpsonville, which has been about 20 years, I think the biggest hail we've seen is maybe half-inch hail. Of course, that's different. 5 miles down the road is different. But, I guess if I was expecting a really big hailstorm to come through here, I would probably go out and take my little portable panels and take them down and bring them inside so they didn't get destroyed. But, yeah, that's absolutely a concern. And like I say, I saw a picture of a big solar farm somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but they had, like, baseball-sized hail. And that hail went right through the solar panels. I mean, it looked like it had been hit by cannon fire. And, the whole solar farm was destroyed because of the hail. And, that's like, I'm sure any car that was parked out there would have been destroyed by that hail, too. So it's one of those things, in the end, Mother Nature always wins, right?
Kind of right about it. I know, like I told you, I see others around here when I'm out in the yard, big panels, and others where they got them up on the roofs. And I hope they got them insured, so I can say that there's ways to insure them and they can buy that, because when the right storm comes up in the summer and if the hail's big enough, they better have it. Go ahead with someone else. That's my biggest thing,
KI4LZI. One other comment related to that, these panels I'm planning to put up on the roof of my place. I bought 8 panels. I bought them used because there's a lot of used panels available where these solar farms will sell used equipment that isn't quite meeting new specs, but it still generates a lot of power. And I bought 8 275-watt panels for about $100 a piece, used. So, $800 worth of panels, I wouldn't want to lose that in a hailstorm, but on the other hand, it's not an absolute catastrophe either. Like, it's not tens of thousands of dollars for a small system like that using used panels. Now, granted, if you go put up 30,000 watts of panels and pay new prices for it, that'd be a huge hit, no doubt. So this is KQ4AKE. Any other questions from anybody? JBQ, this is KQ4AKE. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'd like to say a very big thank you. I know a lot of people might be listening who will not let on that they're out there. They're in the weeds, we used to say. But in as much as this is a huge topic, I could follow along because I've been around and I considered something for the house, backed off from that, because the weight, first of all, the weight would preclude making something that was also portable. You mentioned early on that portability was part of the plan, but I suppose that got overshadowed after a while. And pretty much now it's in the house. It supports your station. And less complexity, perhaps. And the expectations are not exact. You know, the specifications are much lower for portable radio operation, especially if you're beginning with a station that you are running is a 12-volt station. Marvelously, there's all kinds of mobile radios out there. I'm running two of them here, and one is a backup to the other, you understand, but both of my radios are meant to go into a car, so they're based on 12 volts, and so that makes portable operations so much easier. I wonder if perhaps in reaching that particular goal, you might spec out something that's only for portable use and not, your expectations are not to run lighting and refrigeration and home heating and and that kind of thing. KK4JBQ.
4AKE, thanks Larry, yeah. Yeah, if you were going to build a system pretty much purpose-built for, you know, portable ham radio operations, and a lot of people have done that, obviously, yeah, you'd want to use, you know, a lithium battery and a smaller solar panel and keep it as light and probably in a little case or whatever. But, yeah, the design goals change when you're talking about special cases like that. I was really, one of the things I wanted to do was be able to, like, take this thing out in the yard and run an electric pole saw off of it or something like that, which I've actually done several times. And if I had put lithium iron phosphate batteries in it instead of these big, heavy AGM batteries, it would be a lot more portable and a lot easier on my back. But even as it is, I can pick up that top box and carry it out in the yard, and it weighs about 60 pounds. Actually, I usually get my wife to help me with it. She complains about it, but she'll do it. But, yeah, lithium batteries would make it a lot lighter. And, again, it just depends on what you want to do with it. But, yeah, ham radio power supply would be pretty easy to build and pretty light, portable, and all that good stuff.
To my surprise, when the topic was not confined to radio operation, portable, old Summits on the Air, Parks on the Air, casual, I think it's called roving activations. It's not a park and it's not a summit. It's anywhere you want to park the car and operate the radio. That sounds cool to me. But rather, your information was almost encyclopedic, you know, really packed with all kinds of stuff that I've studied over years of time. Battery chemistry, for instance, you covered that, you know, a light touch, but you covered that and some of the warnings. Believe it or not, a lot of folks don't know that you take a 12-volt battery in most automobiles and take it down to 10 volts, you killed it. I've done that a couple times. Not meaning to, you understand, to test things, but just happened that that's too low to recover for that chemistry. The power curve on discharge is so much better and for a lithium battery. Anyhow, I want to thank you personally. Thank you so much for bringing this all out, taking the cover off, so to speak. And it, you know, in a short period of time like you've raised a lot of, were very educational to us as a group. And I want to thank you. Thank you, Dave, for making this possible. And, well, I'll continue to listen if you, when you wrap it up. And again, it's KK4JPQ.
Thanks a lot for the comments. You're certainly welcome. I've enjoyed kind of putting this stuff together and talking about it. Made me think about some of the stuff again a little bit too. And you know, I guess one comment I'll make, you know, talk about discharge of batteries. One of the things that's, it was actually kind of aggravating. Like I bought these certain brand of AGM batteries and actually bought them on Amazon, but they're, you know, reputable manufacturer. And they send you, you know, their data sheet with it. And it talks about state of charge and state of discharge and depth of discharge. And it has all kinds of graphs and tables and rates and all this kind of stuff. And you know, after studying all that and reading it, and like, so I'm an electrical engineer, so I mean, I should be able to read that stuff and figure out what I want from it. But even after studying over all that stuff, I really couldn't figure out exactly how far, how many volts can you discharge it to, and is that voltage when it's under load, or when it, is that like you discharge it and then remove the load and measure the voltage then? When is, when, and it was like 10.8 volts. When do you measure the 10.8 volts, and how do you measure the 10.8 volts? And none of their documentation says any of that. So I had to call the company and talk to one of their engineers, you know? So that's just one example. And that kind of thing applies to inverters and batteries and solar panels and on and on and on. So it's really, it took a lot more time researching all this stuff than I ever thought it possibly could. So, and that was part of the fun, but there's a lot to this stuff. There's a lot to learn, and it's really interesting stuff, but it takes a while to get up to speed on it, and I don't claim to be up to speed. All I know about is what I've done, and there's a whole lot more out there to do, but any rate. So, yeah, Larry, you're right about that. Thank you very much. This is KQ4AKE. Other comments, questions?
Sounds like you've covered quite a bit of it, and you did a really good job. Let me make sure I got it. Yeah. So, Wayne, you did answer one of the questions that I had, and that was the 100-watt panels don't put out 100 watts. But what you're saying is it depends on the length of the run of the wire. It depends on the diameter of the wire. It depends on the state of the battery. It depends on the sun shining, whether it's perpendicular to the top of the 100-watt panel or not. And that's one thing I found. I have a remote setup that has two panels. They're 100 watts each. And on a good day, when you have bright sunshine, and it's at the time of the day, because mine don't change their angle, I have to go out and manually change them. But they're out in a remote location, and they're like 30 miles away. So you don't go out there. I don't go out there very often. None of us go out there very often to set them up. But when we do go, we clean them off and readjust them for like after the longest day of the year and the shortest day of the year, right? We'll adjust them because the tilt of the earth, to try to keep them as perpendicular as possible, but we don't do anything about the rotation of the earth, the east to west. But I notice I get about 125, maybe 130 watts out of two panels combined, and that's only after you've gone 3 or 4 or 5 days with very little sunshine. Right, so that gives the batteries time, and it's 150 amp hours of batteries, of lithium iron phosphate batteries, 150 amp hours. So you can go 5 days at 2 amps, which is 12 volts, which is a little under 24 watts of continuous drain. 24 watts continuous drain, 5 days of that can give you about 60 to 80 tenths of, let's see, what is it? I have to go look at it to make sure I get my metric just right. So, like today, it absorbed 0.38 kilowatt hours, right? So 380 watt hours. So the most you can get out of a day is about 800 watt hours on a really good sunny day out of two solar panels, and that's peaking at about 130 watts between 200 watt panels. So I guess all things considered, that's not too bad. KQ4 AKE W4 DJW in the Blue Ridge 2 meter net.
Four AKE. I I won't pretend I followed along on your math there, because I'm really bad at doing math in my head, Dave. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the solar panels, like a lot of other things, they say they're 100-watt panels, but maybe in the lab they did 100 watts, but nobody will ever see that again. You know, that's one thing. And then, again, you know, the angle and whether they're clean or dirty and how new they are and what size wire. And the biggest thing I found was the state of charge of the battery. Like, again, it's got to have some place to put that power. And if your batteries are, you know, three-quarters charged up, it's just not going to take all of that power into the battery, because the battery's basically pushing back on the panel, you know? So, you know, like I say, I was excited when I saw 150 watts coming into my batteries, and my meter I have is the wattage and the amps going into the battery. It's not from the panel to the charge controller. It's between the charge controller and the battery. So some is lost in the charge controller, too. But I was real happy to see 150 watts out of 400 watts of panels. So, yeah, with those numbers you said, I think you're doing pretty good. And, you know, one thing about aligning the panels, I didn't want to go out there and be moving panels all the time, because every panel has a wire and it's, you know, on the grass and it's in the weeds and all that stuff. So I just arranged my panels in an arc, and I just added more panels till I got the amount of power I wanted. So it's not real efficient, but it does the job, you know. So everything's a compromise. This is KQ4AKE.
Okay, well, I feel a lot better about what's going on now. Anyway, with the system that we have, it's a learning curve. Like you said, it's a lot of learning curve, but it's enjoyable to be able to learn that as we go. Let me check one more time. I do see an EchoLink station popped in there. Let me check for any stations that would like to check in to the Blue Ridge 2-meter net or EchoLink station that would like to check in, and then I got one more comment for Andy's question, and then I'll be back to you, Wayne. Do we have any other stations all the way through the alphabet, EchoLink or RF, that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
I'm from Parsippany, New Jersey, just listening in. I got family in Greenville, Simpsonville, South Carolina, so I'm trying to work my way down on the radio. Just listening to you guys, I'll let you get back to your traffic. You guys have a good night.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KE2CYD, Kilo Echo 2, Charlie Yankee Delta. That's John in New Jersey. Good to have you with us tonight, John. Appreciate you taking the time to jump in this evening. And then Wayne, for my other comment about Andy's question about the hailstorms. One thing I did see was somebody that went out, and I don't know if you've seen those nowadays. When we go on vacation, we let the dog have the whole back seat, and we have this blow-up cushion that we put in the back seat, and it brings the floor up to shoulder length so that she can walk around and see outside. And it's made out of really thick rawhide, and it's got an inside, like an inner tube in it. And you blow that up, and it can be anywhere from 6 to 8 inches thick of air. And I saw a guy put mattresses that are made like camping mattresses, blow-up camping mattresses, not the kind you used to get back in the 60s and 70s that were really thin rubber, right, that would just puncture. You could take an ice pick and puncture it. I'm talking about the kind that has a canvas mat on top of it and the inner tube inside of that. And think about those the kids' toys that they have at a birthday party where the noisemakers, and they blow on them, and they unwind like a butterfly's tongue. Right? They unwind, and then they make noise, and then when the kid quits blowing on it, they wind back up. Right? Well, think about that mattress that unwinds when you fill it up with air, and it puffs up to 8 inches thick, and it's got thick, heavy rawhide on each side to absorb the hail. Right? So I'm thinking that might be cheaper than replacing all of your solar panels if you live in an area where hailstorms with baseball size hail is happening all the time. So I'm thinking that's a market. That's a market just waiting for somebody to step in there and become an overnight sensation. But that's all I got, Wayne. If you don't have anything else, I'll let you wrap it up, and then I'll wrap up the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. And like Larry said, we greatly appreciate you volunteering to bring this information to the Blue Ridge 2-meter net this evening. W4DJW back to KQ4AKE.
Yeah, I can envision what you're talking about with the air mattresses unrolling like a kid's blow-up whistle or whatever. That's kind of a neat concept. That's one of the things that's interesting about the solar power stuff. I've had conversations with a buddy of mine about solar trackers, you know, and there's all kinds of people that have done experiments with solar trackers, and they actually use like a rod out front and the shadow it casts to control solar panels that drive servo motors. So it's like all automatic. It self-aligns all the time, no matter what. And, you know, it's a matter of how much effort and energy you want to put into it, how much experimenting you want to do. And again, with protecting the solar panel, same kind of thing. It's just limitless, you know, how many ideas you could come up with to make things better. The thing that usually limits me is the number of hours in the day and the number of dollars, you know, in the checking account for that kind of stuff. But lots of neat ideas. We've looked at a long time about looking at solar trackers, which that's really cool. You know, if the panel is like tracking the sun all day long. And I've even seen some that will, you know, depending on how it's set up, will track it through the other side of the earth and pick it up on the other side, you know, that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's interesting stuff to play around with for sure. I'm just kind of happy that I've got something that's actually somewhat useful, and hopefully the next system will be too. So, at any rate, listen, I've enjoyed talking about all this and enjoyed the questions, and thanks for the opportunity to get on the air and share some of this stuff. And like I said, if anybody wants more information, I'll be happy to share it, and just shoot me an email, and you got it, okay? So this is KQ4AKE, and I'll be standing by.
All right, Wayne, appreciate it very much. And a lot of good points in there to absorb, too. So this is all recorded, so if somebody missed something, they want to go back and listen to it again, you can go to the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society's webpage and go to repeater recordings. Just mark down 4/27/2024. That's the date that the solar conversation happened, and you can listen to this all over again and with a pen and a piece of paper in hand, because there was a lot of good information in there. Appreciate it, Wayne. Do we have any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, that's going to about wrap it up this evening. Be sure and stop back by tomorrow night, where KO4HKX Patrick will be calling the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'm sure he'd appreciate you checking in with him tomorrow night, and I'm sure you'll enjoy that net as well. Please stand by for my net report. This is W4DJW now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for checking in. We'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73 and good night.